So we're hearing the Sri Chaitanya Shikshastakam. This evening we will discuss sloka number 7. Please repeat. Yugayitam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravrishayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahena Me Yugayitam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravrishayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahena Me Yugayitam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravrishayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahena Me Yugayitam Appearing like a great millennium Nimeshena by a moment.
By a moment.
Chakshusha.
Chakshusha.
From the eyes.
From the eyes.
Pravrishayitam.
Pravrishayitam.
Tears falling like torrents of rain.
Tears falling like torrents of rain.
Shunyayitam.
Shunyayitam.
Appearing void.
Appearing void.
Jagat.
Jagat.
The world.
The world.
Sarvam.
Sarvam.
All.
All.
Govinda.
Govinda.
From Lord Govinda.
From Lord Govinda.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Virahena me.
Virahena me.
By my separation.
By my separation.
Translation. My Lord Govinda, because of separation from you, I consider even a moment a great millennium. Tears flow from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I see the entire world as void. So this seventh sloka is continuing to describe elevated stages of Krishna consciousness in the form of bhava and prema bhakti. We explained that devotional service begins with the practice of sadhana bhakti according to the regulative principles. Sadhana bhakti specifically is in the form of vaidhi bhakti and then also raganuga bhakti, but especially vaidhi bhakti as we practice in our daily lives according to the different rules and regulations of the scriptures. This practice of vaidhi bhakti leads to an intense feeling in the heart where one develops some emotions and attachment for the Lord, and this perfects in the form of bhava bhakti. And this sloka this evening describes bhava and even prema bhakti. The mood of this sloka, specifically the seventh sloka, is describing about the feeling of separation from the Lord. In Sanskrit, this is called vipralamba. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates like the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they all practiced this mood of vipralamba seva, or serving the Lord in separation. This mood of vipralamba seva was shown in the perfect sense by the gopis of Braja. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the gopis of Braja as being the greatest of all devotees, and he taught that if we want to perfect our love for Krishna, there's no better way than following the method of the gopis of Braja. the gopis of Braja experienced intense love for Krishna. And this feeling of love for Krishna was intensified after Krishna left Vrindavan. Krishna knows the psychology of women. And he knew that after leaving Vrindavan, when a woman is separated from her lover, then the feeling of the heart intensifies. Her attachment for her consort will be more intense than when her consort is with her. And with common saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Right? So absence makes the heart grow fonder. And this is this psychology was perfected by Lord Krishna himself in his dealings with the gopis. That the gopis were certainly attached to Krishna, and after he separated himself from them, the attachment or the feelings of the gopis became very intense. That feeling of attachment or feeling of separation from Krishna Hare Krishna. This feeling of separation from Krishna is like a fire, and this fire of separation was only relieved by hearing and chanting and remembering the pastimes of the Lord, or Lila Smarana. The gopis, in their separation from Krishna, would then remember the different activities of Lord Krishna and describe his different pastimes. And in this way, they would feel relief from the fire of separation which was burning their hearts. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also practiced this same mode of feeling this separation from Krishna. And similarly, the Goswamis of Vrindavan. If we study the Goswami Astakam, you will see in the final verse there. Hey Radhe Braja Devi Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kuta, Vardana Kampapada Patale, Kalindi Yane Kuta. O Santa Viti Sarvato Brajapure Keter Mahavivalo Vande Rupa Sanatano Rakujako Sri Jiva Gopalako. So in that verse, Srinivasacharya, the author of this Goswami Astakam, has described the mood of the Goswamis in Vrindavan. That they would be running around Vrindavan, shouting, "Where are you, O son of Nanda Maharaj? Are you over on Govardhan Hill, or are you under the trees on the banks of the Yamuna? Where are you?" This was the mood of the Goswamis as they lived in Vrindavan and practiced their devotional service. They never said, "Now I am seeing Krishna." They never said, "Now Krishna is with me," or "I saw Krishna, he came and spoke to me." But rather their mood was this separation from Krishna. They were constantly thinking, "Where are you, Krishna?" I remember one time, and when Srila Prabhupada was present, some devotees had published a book for children, and they had put some simple sentences like, "Krishna is beside the tree, Krishna is sitting under the tree." Prabhupada said, "What is this?" He said, "This is not our line." He said, "This is not our mode." He said, "The Goswamis have taught us to say, 'Where are you, Krishna?'" So Prabhupada was very particular about everything, and especially in relation to Krishna. He wanted us also to cultivate this mode of separation from Krishna. Feeling this absence of Krishna will increase our intense desire to see Krishna and will make it more is easier for us to remember Krishna and to chant his name and to meditate on his form and his pastimes and discuss his activities. This is the mood of the devotees of Krishna in the Vaishnava Sampradaya. Remembering Krishna in the mood of separation. This is the mood of the gopis, feeling separation from Krishna. So by cultivating this separation, we can intensify our attachment for Krishna. Now this feeling of separation, this was especially seen by Uddhava when he brought a message to the gopis. In 10th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, or you may have read in the Krishna book, how Lord Krishna, after he had left Vrindavan, he arranged for Uddhava to deliver a message to the gopis. And by asking Uddhava to go to Vrindavan, it was also giving Uddhava an opportunity to see the very exalted, very high level of love which the gopis had acquired for Krishna. Uddhava himself was a friend of Krishna and also a great devotee of Krishna. And Krishna gave him a message to take to the gopis. That message is also very important for us. In that message, actually, Lord Krishna told the gopis that you should know that we can never be separated, because he said, Krishna said, actually, I am all pervading, so you can never be separate from me. Right? Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita how he is all pervading. Mayatatam jagat sarvam jagat avyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvabhasita. Krishna says, by me, in my all-pervading form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And similarly also in the 7th chapter, Lord Krishna describes how the material creation is made up of his inferior energy, and then the living entities are also his marginal energy. So in this way, there is nothing separate from Krishna, that everything is part of Krishna or Krishna's energy. So there is no question of separation from Krishna. But still, the devotees cultivate this mood of feeling this separation from Krishna. By cultivating this mood, it makes it easier for us to develop this intense attachment for Krishna. Of course, this feeling, this mood of separation from Krishna, this is on a very high platform. This is done by devotees who have developed this intense emotional feeling and attachment for Krishna, bhava. In our scriptures, we have examples of other devotees who also had this bhava. For example, Narada Muni. Narada Muni, in his previous life, before he became Narada Muni, he was the son of a maidservant, and he assisted his mother serving some mendicants. At that time, these mendicants had instructed the boy, Narada Muni, in his previous life, as a young boy, they instructed him in the process of bhakti yoga and how to meditate on the form of the Lord. So after his mother died, then Narada Muni was left to wander around the world. And he visited many different places, he saw many different kinds of lifestyles. And it took the opportunity to sit down under a tree and meditate on the Lord, remembering the instructions which these sages had given him. And Srimad Bhagavatam describes how very quickly, on fixing his mind on the form of the Lord, he was able to experience some ecstasy, and the feelings of his senses all became surcharged with spiritual emotions. He began to experience bhava, or intense attachment for the Lord, a type of samadhi, where the mind was fixed on the Lord. So the scriptures describe that in the stage of bhava, there are different transcendental emotions which a person experiences. Last night we read some of these different emotions, how there are shedding of tears. It is also mentioned in the seventh verse that tears are flowing from the eyes like torrents of rain. Not just a few drops, not just that the eyes are wet, but actually torrents of rain flowing from the eyes. So then also the bodily hair standing on end, and goosebumps over the body, trembling of the body, shivering like this. These are different ecstatic emotions. Now, sometimes people will imitate these emotions because they want to be recognized as being advanced devotees. Sometimes people who are not actually experiencing this type of ecstasy will make a cheap display of such feelings. And other times, advanced devotees who are experiencing these things will suppress the feelings. Therefore, if we want to understand who is actually experiencing bhava, we should not simply look for these ecstatic emotions. But there are other characteristics which we should look for. And by studying these particular characteristics, which are mentioned in our Nectar of Devotion, and which are 9 in number, it describes how we can actually understand who has achieved bhava. And it also guides us how we can also achieve bhava. I will read to you the different 9 items. First of all, this is taken from Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and given by Srila Prabhupada in his Nectar of Devotion. The first point is that he is always anxious to utilize his time in the service of the Lord. He does not like to be idle. He wants service always, 24 hours a day, without deviation. So this is an important point, that a devotee should be very careful to utilize his time in the service of the Lord. Prabhupada used to quote to us, Chanakya Pandit, that time is very valuable and you cannot buy it for any amount of gold. So this is especially important for devotees. The more we advance, that we're very careful not to waste time. A second point, a devotee should be always reserved and perseverant. Again, this is another important qualification. We can see some similarities between this point and instructions which are given in Upadeshamrita, that a devotee must be patient and determined. So similarly here also it says a devotee is always reserved and perseverant. The third one, he is always detached from all material attraction. Well, that is certainly important, that if a devotee has developed some attachment for Krishna, then he cannot be attracted to the material world. But he understands the true nature of the material world as being temporary. And he has no interest in trying to enjoy the material world. I remember Srila Prabhupada on a morning walk one morning in Hyderabad. One devotee said to Prabhupada, "Oh Prabhupada, look at the sunrise, isn't it beautiful?" Prabhupada looked at him and said, "If you still have an interest in enjoying the material world, you will have to take birth again." So it was a sharp lesson for us in how careful we have to be not to have any attachment for this material world. The fourth point is he does not long for any material respect in return for his activities. So, of course, this was also brought out in one of the earlier verses of the Shikshastikam, that a devotee will offer respect for others and he's not anxious to have respect for himself. The fifth point is, he is always certain that Krishna will bestow his mercy upon him. That is described as ashabandha, or great hope. A devotee is confident, because I'm trying my best to follow the routine principles of devotional service, I am sure that I will go back to Godhead, back to home. We should have that confidence. We're following the instructions, we're practicing the principles and chanting our daily rounds. Then we should have that great hope that certainly Krishna will deliver us. The sixth point is that he is always very eager to serve the Lord faithfully. So a devotee is faithful and eager, enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Not that we are hesitant and thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to chant my rounds today, I'm tired today, I need a day off, I need a break. No, a devotee is always eager and enthusiastic to do service for Krishna. The seventh point, he should be very much attached to the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. We must have a taste, develop some strong taste for the holy name especially. Taking part in kirtan, even sometimes the kirtan may not seem very sweet, but still we should take part in the chanting. And we will chant our rounds, even though we feel tired, we may have a sore throat, we may not feel like we can chant, but we should do it. We should think that I must do my service for Krishna. The eighth point, he's always eager to describe the qualities of the Lord. And the ninth, he is very pleased to live in a place where the Lord's pastimes are performed, such as Mathura, Vrindavan, or Dwarka. Yeah, devotees, we should be eager to go to visit the holy Dham. Sometimes people think, oh, I don't want to go there, it's that place, that's the third world, it's a backward place, I might get sick there, I might get loose motions or something, you know. The water's not good. No, we should think, the holy Dham, it's a chance for purification. We want to get purified. Even there may be some austerity there, that is good for us. Without austerity, we cannot go back to Godhead. Austerity is purifying. So the holy Dham is a very nice place to do some austerity and become purified. In the holy Dham, everyone will sleep early, wake up early, go to Mangal Arti, and chant the holy name, see the deities, take part in the kirtan, eat Krishna prasadam. No room for sinful activities. No opportunity to think of Maya. So very healthy atmosphere. So these nine characteristics describe the qualification for achieving bhava. And we should work to try to acquire these different qualities. The purpose of practicing sadhana bhakti is that one day we will also develop bhava bhakti. Last night we quoted the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam that certainly that heart is steel framed if after chanting the holy name with concentration we do not experience ecstasy when the tears flow from the eyes and there's shivering in the body and trembling of the hair. So we don't want to have a steel framed heart. We want to melt the heart. This is the qualification for awakening this affection or this bhava, this rati for the Lord. Another method by which we can awaken this love for Krishna is by hearing about Krishna, simply by hearing in the association of devotees. There's a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam describing this, spoken by Lord Kapiladev to his mother Devahuti. Satam prasanga mama virya samvido bhavantirit karana rasayana kata. Lord Kapiladeva is saying the topics of Lord Krishna are very pleasing to the ear and the heart when they are heard in the association of devotees. Then he goes on to explain that by hearing such topics in the association of devotees, one gains liberation. He becomes free from this material world. His attachment becomes fixed. And then real knowledge and devotion awaken one after another. Kapila Dev says, Shraddha Ritir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. Shraddha, remember Shraddha, faith. That in the beginning one must have faith. So, Shraddha, Ratir, Bhaktir, Anukramishit. Rati is synonymous with Bhava. It's the same meaning as Bhava, Rati. So, from Shraddha, one can come to Rati, and then Bhakti, which is his meaning, Prem. We can develop the goal of life, Krishna Prem, love of God. Simply by hearing topics of Krishna in the association of devotees. This is the power of hearing Krishna Katha. We just simply have to take part in these discussions regularly, hearing, chanting, and we can also come to these higher stages. It needn't take a long time. It just takes our sincere endeavor. There are some other examples of different devotees, how they awaken bhava. There's an example of one lady, Chandrakanti. Chandrakanti was a lady who saw the beauty of the deity. She was attracted by the beauty of the deity and she danced all night. She danced all night to awaken her bhava for Krishna. She didn't waste any time. She didn't take rest all night. She simply danced. And she developed her love for Krishna. She had the desire to become like a gopi, to develop this mood of the gopi and dance with Krishna. So she spent the whole night dancing. And in this way she awakened bhava. This example is given in Nectar of Devotion. However, we should point out that to develop this bhava is rare. It is not a cheap thing. It is rare that people develop bhava. Before one can develop bhava, one must be freed from all desire for fruitive gain or philosophical speculation. If one still has some desire to enjoy this material world, if we're still attracted to the material world, we're not going to develop this spontaneous love for Krishna, this bhava. However, sometimes we see that people do display some symptoms of this bhava, or this intense feeling and emotion for Krishna. Sometimes we find that people, although they do have material desires, because they have come to Krishna and they have come to Krishna consciousness to practice devotional service, and somehow they have awakened this intense attachment for Krishna, but they still have some material desire. They have done this, they can do this through the association of devotees. That they come with some material motive. But because they have that material desire and they have come to Krishna to achieve their goal, they will do the devotion very intensely. They're very intense in their practice. They'll work very hard. Chant very loud, very determinedly, hoping that Krishna will hear their prayers and fulfill their wishes. So they're intense in their practice, but their motive is not pure. Their motive is corrupt because they still have some desire. On the other hand, you get people who come who are curious and not very much interested, they also may practice Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees and also experience some bhava. They are not very intense because they're just curious and they've not got any strong motive, but because they don't have any big motive, they're not corrupt in coming. So they're in a better position. But their practice is not very intense. However, in the association of devotees, they can also be purified. Such attachment for Krishna is described as shadow attachment. That they have attachment, but they have some material desire or not a very strong desire to please Krishna. So there's some attachment, some interest because they've come to Krishna, but it's not a complete dedication to Krishna. There's no complete surrender. So it's described as shadow attachment. So this attachment can be purified in the association of devotees, and they can also develop the pure bhakti. Now sometimes we will see people practice devotional service, and we will know, we consider them to be advanced devotees, but sometimes we will see faults in them. We see that they're doing a lot of service, they're working very hard, preaching, doing different services for Krishna every day, reading the books and studying and chanting and offering a lot of service. But still sometimes we may see that they're doing something which we think, well, why are they doing that? That they shouldn't be like that, you know. So we may see some faults, some discrepancies in their behavior. Amid volumes of service, we may notice something which we think, well, that's not right. They shouldn't do that. So how should we judge these discrepancies? We should think that, just like the moon, that the moon is very beautiful, although we may see some dark spots on it. We should see the volumes of service which people do, rather than see a few faults in their character. And we should also understand that because they're doing volumes of service, that in the future, these discrepancies in their service will also be removed. That they're certain to be purified in time. It's just a question of time before these faults or defects in their service will be rectified. Devotional service will certainly correct all of whatever is lacking in their own service. So we should see like that. We should not criticize them. Neither should we think that, oh, they cannot be advanced because they have some defects. But rather we should see the volumes of service which they do. Another consideration is that sometimes we will see someone who never did any sadhana, and they come very suddenly to Krishna consciousness. They take part in the activities of Krishna consciousness. They've never done any serious sadhana, but somehow they develop some ecstatic feelings. They may feel some ecstasy. How should we consider this? We wonder, how is it possible that I've never seen this person do much service, but I see them shedding tears, I see them shivering in their body, they're experiencing some ecstasy. We should consider that maybe in their previous lives they must have done great service, and now they are again continuing from where they have left off in some previous life. Sometimes, especially when we come to the holy dham, there are many You know, especially in Mayapur, I've seen in Mayapur, it's especially common, or Vrindavan also, that when we're having some kirtans, people will come, they have not done any sadhana, they're coming, they're layman, but they will take part in the kirtan, and they will dance wildly, and they will chant the holy name in great ecstasy, and they will feel really ecstatic symptoms. They will feel some real emotional attachment for the Lord. This is possible through the association with pure devotees. Association with pure devotees is so powerful that it can elevate even people who have no great attachment, who have never done any great amounts of devotional service, that they can also experience the ecstasy of service to Krishna. As service, by serving devotees, then certainly we can also get that opportunity. And similarly also, the contrary is also true, that if we offend devotees, then it can create havoc for our own spiritual life. As we say, Yasya Prasad Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasada Nagati Kato. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, there's simply havoc on the path of spiritual life. And another verse also said, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Mahurva Muktes Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam. By serving the Mahatmas, it opens the doors to liberation. But if we serve the objects of the senses, if we engage in material sense gratification, then it just takes us into the path of hell. So we should be careful to always try to associate with the devotees and always serve them in such a way that we can increase our own spiritual advancement. Another point which is made in relation to Bhava is in relation to the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That when Mahaprabhu was in South India on the banks of the Godavari, he met with Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai at that time was the governor, and he came there on a palanquin with many of his different ministers, and many brahmanas were also there in his company. Ramananda Rai came to the banks of the Godavari for taking bath, and Mahaprabhu was there as a sannyasi, and he was simply seated there watching. And when he saw Ramananda Rai come there after taking his bath, then Lord Chaitanya approached him, and they introduced each other. Ramananda Rai was very curious to know who was this sannyasi, Mahaprabhu, in his youth was such tall, and so tall, strong, and handsome. So Ramananda Rai was certainly surprised to see the effulgence of this sannyasi, and came to meet him. And Lord Chaitanya embraced him. Lord Chaitanya embraced Ramananda Rai because Ramananda Rai was actually the gopi Vishakha. And Ramananda Rai is, of course, Krishna in the mood of Radharani, in the sentiment of Srimati Radharani. So Srimati Radharani's best friend was the gopi Vishakha. And therefore, when Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Rai, he embraced Ramananda Rai, and both of them, both Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai, experienced great ecstasy. All different ecstatic symptoms became manifest in their bodies, and indeed they fell to the ground. So there were many orthodox brahmanas who were there with Ramananda Rai, and they were very surprised. They thought, who is this sannyasi? And then when they saw them embracing and the different ecstatic symptoms, they thought, how could this sannyasi embrace this man, Ramananda Rai? Because Ramananda Rai, although he was the governor, he was actually of Sudra caste. So the Brahmanas were very shocked that he's a sannyasi and he's embracing this sudra. How can this be? And they're in this way, they could not understand the ecstatic emotions between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Therefore, when Lord Chaitanya saw these Brahmanas, then he checked himself. He did not allow himself to display these ecstatic emotions because he knew that these people, these Brahmanas, would never understand. They'd simply be confused. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya shows us that this elevated display of emotions is not meant for the ordinary public. Rather, they must be internalized. And when Srila Prabhupada did experience ecstasy, as I mentioned before, when Srila Prabhupada would feel sometimes this ecstasy, then he would simply stop and he would ask the devotees to chant and have kirtan, and sometimes he would simply retire to his room. So, it has become too common in some parts of the world, particularly we can say Bangladesh sometimes, and also in Bengal, like that, where Gaudiya Vaishnavism is, that sometimes people will come and they will immediately make a display of some emotions, rolling on the ground and shedding tears and different ecstasies like this. And then the next minute, you can see the same people drinking tea, smoking coffee, smoking cigarettes, drinking tea and coffee, and eating all terrible foods. So, not following any principles. So such displays have cheapened the whole affair of devotional service. And during the times of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was that is why after Mahaprabhu there was a decline in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, because it became a whole movement of sahajas, people who took everything very cheap and simply made sentimental displays of emotions without following any religious principles. So it was left to Bhaktivinoda Thakur to re-establish Lord Chaitanya's movement on the basis of sound philosophy and proper behavior. Of course, this is the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as it was described by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. After Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya recognized Lord Chaitanya as being the Supreme Lord and surrendered to him and became his devotee, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya composed many verses glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one of these verses describes, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartha Eka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharera Dari Kripambudir Yastvam Aham Prapadye. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is offering his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is thanking him for being an ocean of mercy and coming into this world to deliver the science of Bhakti Yoga based on knowledge and detachment from this world. So devotional service must be properly conducted. It is not that we should just be sentimental, but we should also understand the philosophy. Earlier in this series of lectures, someone asked me about the importance of reading the books and if it's not enough to simply chant the holy name. But in relation to that, I can quote one verse from the scriptures which describes that devotional service which is performed without reference to the Shruti, the Smriti, the Puranas and the Pancharatriki, it is simply a disturbance to society. So it is important for us that we also study the philosophy, hear the philosophy, and then we can properly apply it in our own service to Krishna. Now within our society, we're giving great importance to education. More and more parts of the world are opening up Bhaktivedanta colleges and institutes, and more seminars are being held as well. Of course, in Mayapur this year, in February, at Gaur Purnima, there will be many seminars conducted every year now. At Gaur Purnima, more and more seminars are being given, giving all of us an opportunity to become more educated and to have more knowledge and information about the Krishna consciousness movement. So it's important for us to take advantage of all of this and apply it in our own devotional service. So I will stop here and ask if there are any questions.
The second point is, devotees are always reserved. What does it mean?
The point was that in Nectar of Devotion, I read that Prabhupada writes, he is always reserved and perseverant. So Prabhupada talks about this. He said, when a person is undisturbed, even in the presence of various causes of disturbance, he is called reserved and perseverant. And the example is of Maharaj Parikshit. That Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days. But he simply requested the Brahmanas that, my dear Brahmanas, you continue to recite the glories of Lord Krishna and to chant his holy name, that so that at the time of death, when the snake bird will come and bite me, I will have the opportunity to hear the holy name. So this is the example of being reserved and perseverant, Maharaj Parikshit, at the time of death. So in the same way, we also have to practice being reserved and perseverant. Sometimes you try to distribute Krishna consciousness, you approach people, ask them, please come and take part in our program, and we have to be reserved and perseverant. We have to tolerate often difficulties. Sometimes people will abuse us. Devotee, tolerant, perseverant. Yes.
After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, are there any examples for us to quote or refer to people who have practiced or demonstrated that?
Yes, well, of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, his own self, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, that in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is a mood of devotional service, to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, cultivating this mood of feeling separation from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has taught us also that the mood of distributing Krishna consciousness to others is directly the mood of the gopis. Trying to give Krishna to others. That the gopis themselves always try to make arrangements. The gopis want Radharani to enjoy with Krishna. They don't think that I should enjoy with Krishna, but they think I'm not qualified to enjoy with Krishna, they're more qualified. In the same way, we should always think how to give Krishna to others, not that Krishna is for our own enjoyment. Prabhupada also taught us that don't try to see Krishna, but act in a way that Krishna will want to come and see us. So by our own devotion in separation from Krishna, we can attract Krishna's attention. This is a mood of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gorkishore Das Babaji, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. However, Srila Prabhupada does not speak about these things. This is not very relevant in public talks, what is more important for us is that we strictly practice regulative principles like hearing and chanting. Every day chanting 16 rounds and strictly following the four principles. This is what is really important for us. This, to try to develop this mood of Vipralamba Seva, this is an advanced level of devotion. If we're still struggling, trying to control the senses, trying to conquer over our lust, anger, and greed, then it will be, we're not quite ready, we're not ready for this Vipralamba Seva. We have to purify ourselves by more hearing and chanting. There has to be this detachment from the material world in order to cultivate that mood of separation from Krishna. But if we're still thinking to enjoy the material world, there's no question of feeling this separation from Krishna. Yes, Nityananda Prabhu continued, he was still in this world, I think about 30 years or more after Mahaprabhu. There's one book called Advaita Prakash, written by Ishan, who was Advaita Acharya's servant, and he gives the exact information about that. He tells how many years Nityananda Prabhu stayed in this world before leaving after Mahaprabhu. And he also about Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was the last to leave after Nityananda.
Was he also a sannyasi like
the end? Who? Nityananda? No. Nityananda, he's Abhadut. He was Abhadut. He married. He had two wives. They were two sisters. And he had his son also, Virabhadra. But he's Abhadut, he's Lord Balaram. You know, he's not different from Lord Balaram. Brajendra Nandana Se Sachi Sutta Hailohe Balaram Hailonitai. The son of Brajendra, Nanda Maharaj, he has come as Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram has come as Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda, his consorts, Lord Balaram also had two wives, and those two wives, they came at Chaitanya Lila, and they again became his wife. Nityananda, he again accepted these two wives, who were his wives as Lord Balaram. Those two, his two consorts, they came for Gaura Lila, and he again accepted them as his wife.
Made a mention of Ramananda Raya.
Ramananda Raya.
Yes. In previous that was Visakha Gopi herself.
Yes.
Did any other Gopi took birth?
Yes. Yes. Swarup Damodar was Lalita Sakhi. And not only those two, there were many other Manjaris, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they're Manjaris, who are young gopis, not yet old enough to be gopis, they're just young girls. They were the Goswamis, they're all Manjaris. So, and then many of the cowherd boys, they also came to be the associates of Nityananda and take part in the Sankirtan movement. Many cowherd boys, they were all in that mood of being gopas. Lord Nityananda with his associates, they were all cowherd boys before in Vrajalila, and they came and performed Sankirtan, preached the Sankirtan movement all over Bengal. Yes, there's a book called Gaura Gunadesh Deepika, and it gives the names and identifies the different associates of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda and who they were in Krishna Lila. So many of these references are given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you're interested, you can go through. But there's this one book, Gaura Gunadesh Deepika, written by Kavi Karnapur, thank you. Yeah. Kavi Karnapur, who was the son of Shivananda Singh. Okay. Anything else?
With reference to a process of devotional service, such as Smarana Kirtan, will one of them bring about the desired result? Should we do everything?
One of them can bring about the desired result, yes. If you just want to hear, you can just do Shravana. You can just hear. If you want to just concentrate on chanting, you can also do that. Yes, some people, of course, you can do more. It's good to do hearing. And in, for example, if you do kirtan, in kirtan you will also hear. There's also shravanam. And then if you're doing the kirtan nicely, you will also do smaranam. You will start to remember. Just like if you're hearing, you're also going to remember something also. So smaranam will also be there. But we put the emphasis on Shravanam Kirtan. It's different people have different tastes according to your taste. If you like, the examples are given how great personalities, they took one path and they perfected that. Maharaj Parikshit perfected hearing. Sukadev Goswami was perfect in chanting. Prahlad Maharaj was perfect in remembering, like that. So what is your taste? What do you like? You want to surrender everything? Surrendering everything and becoming Krishna's friend, that's difficult. Those are very difficult. Don't try to do that. Not ready for that yet. Concentrate on hearing and chanting. And the others will come. And then you can, maybe you like to specialize in something.
Without knowledge is just a disturbance in society.
Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatriki Vidim Vinam Aikantiki Harer Bhaktir Utpatayaiva Kaupate. That is a verse taken from scripture. Rupa Goswami quotes this. The devotional service which is not according to these scriptures is simply disturbance to society. Yes. English will be a nectar of devotion. The Sanskrit, you can probably find it on the folio. It's definitely in some purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Another question? Okay, so we will stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Narasimha Swami Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.